to the 13th Warehouse. I'm Kim.
And I'm Vicky.
And this is Doug with the IMDb Synopsis, Season 2, Episode 7, For the Team. Claudia gets some on-the-job training in her first field assignment with Micah. But she's a bit overwhelmed by the hunky guys on the wrestling team they're investigating despite their tendency towards spontaneous human combustion. Meanwhile, back at the warehouse, Artie's appendix grows back. Created by Brent Moat and Jane Espenson. Written by Drew Z. Greenberg and Ian Stokes. Directed by Tanya McKiernan. Original air date, August 17th, 2010.
The Telegraph seems to have tapped into some subliminal anxiety. Take some time off, Agent Latimer.
Okay, we're back with Season 2, Episode 7, For the Team. And the artifact of the week is Godfred's Spoon. Created by the Viking prince Godfred Haraldsson, who made it from the armor of fallen warriors. It was used to give strength to Godfred's warriors in battle. Drinking from Godfred's spoon gives the drinker strength. After so many uses, the drinker can spontaneously combust. And that's from Warehouse Wiki. Last week, we used my notes, so this week, we're going to start with Kim's notes, which is a good thing, because I had a hard time with this episode.
No, okay. All right. Well, it was too funny, because as I'm looking at it, I'm going, did I just miss something? Did they just change the intro on episode 7?
Did they?
It looks like they did.
I don't always watch the intros.
Yeah, I watched it. I don't remember that. Anyways, you know, peace my boy.
Yeah.
And I was cracking up because now he's on desk duty.
Yes.
But, you know, he's still playing around with artifacts.
Are those Timothy Leary's glasses? Take them off right now. It's not a toy.
I'm bored. Okay, they make things so much less boring.
Did you hear what I said? Take them off right now. Right now.
Wouldn't you rather have a nice little fish?
Okay, stop it. Give me the glasses.
Don't. Right. Don't.
Get up out of my chair. Child.
Man, desk duty is lame.
Well, it was funny that when you could see him looking out at Artie and he turned into a walrus.
I know. I looked that up because they were Timothy Leary's glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought the walrus, remember the Beatles, I Am the Walrus?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the walrus had something to do with drugs. But I'm not sure. I looked it up and I couldn't find anything that said it did. For some reason, that's why I thought he turned into a walrus.
I was thinking of Alice in Wonderland.
Well, Timothy Leary was the LSD guy.
Oh.
So I thought it had something to do with drugs, but I couldn't find anything that says a walrus has anything to do with drugs.
I don't know, because I'm thinking Alice in Wonderland and I could have sworn there's a walrus.
I don't think there was a... Maybe there was. I can't tell you the last time you watched it.
I don't know if it's in the first story, but I know there's series of Alice in Wonderland. And I could have sworn in the book, and I could be wrong. I don't know. Maybe one of the listeners will know. But somewhere along the line, I remember a walrus.
That's
and
possible.
And I don't think it's Disney. In my head, I'm seeing Tweedledee and Tweedledum. You know, I was cracking up behind that.
I just want to jump in here after the fact, because we always say we're going to look things up and talk about them in the next episode, and then we never do. Kim is right about a walrus in Alice in Wonderland. It's a poem which was performed by Tweedledee and Tweedledum in Through the Looking Glass and What Alice Found There. And there is a possible connection to Timothy Leary and I Am the Walrus, although I don't know that there's a connection to the walrus being a drug reference. If you're interested, all of this is posted on our website, the13thwarehouse.com. Now let's get back to the podcast.
The other thing, too, was Claudia and Micah working together. And at one point, I could understand Claudia when she's around all these guys and everybody's in the towel.
Whoa. Should an apprentice really be in here?
Right.
You know, she's kind of nervous. Plus, it's her first time out. Technically her first day with Micah out in the field because, you know, peace on desk duty. And I could see her feeling a little shy and intimidated because it's like, whoa, and a little bit embarrassed.
Definitely.
You know, Micah's like, it's another day. You know, so she has a hard time, but it was nice. It seemed like Micah and Claudia is having that, like, that sister thing going on or aunt and niece thing going on. And then she finally sits down and talks to her, and she said, you need to be like you. You need to be yourself. And that's when she goes in and talks to the guy. And the other thing is, they never went back to the kid that drank the juice. Remember when Claudia went back to the room and was sitting on the bed, she was being herself?
Yeah.
Now, she sees all these empty bottles. and the dude is sweating. He looks like he's gonna die. And you can see it in his eyes and everything, and we never go back to him. I remember going back to him.
Yeah, I don't think they did go back to him.
So, did he die?
I have no idea.
And that's the ticket, because when Claudia fell into the drink and it absorbed her body, it was acting quickly. So, what happened to the dude? You see all these empty bottles. It looked like there was like at least three empty bottles. And Claudia's talking with one in her hand, and the dude looked like crap. So what happened to him?
Good point. That's how much I didn't pay attention to this episode. I didn't even realize that we never found out.
I like this episode because then we're back to H.G. Wells.
Yeah.
She pops up and I got to go, hey, go ahead, girl, Micah. Micah could kill somebody. Just you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that part of me's like, go ahead and kill her. Oh, then Claudia stops her.
I know.
But I'm like, Micah, you go, girl. Killer, but you know, and then she worked it out where they snuck out is from the coach and whatever, because at one point I'm thinking it's the coach too.
Yeah, and he was involved,
right? But he wasn't the one that had the artifact,
right? Because we thought it was the metal. They made us believe it was the metal.
But I kind of like H.G. Wells to a certain degree. I don't know why. I do. I kind of like her. Because I think I kind of like that wage war against yourself, that good and evil part.
Yeah.
She's brilliant, but she has that side. And I'm like, okay. And then, you know, when she informs Micah that she wants to be an agent again and work at a warehouse, and I'm like, huh? So then after they had that little touch the heart crap thing going on for a minute, I was like, okay. And then when she showed her the locket, that's all she really wanted was a locker with a daughter in it. I was like, okay, cool. They kind of helped each other, and she saved Claudia. She gave her, I call it the Batman toy. Was there a name for that?
Not that I remember.
And then it was cracking up. So now we go back to Artie. Artie is having pain in his appendix. And here comes Wonder Woman. Not Wonder Woman. Bionic Woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Lindsay Wagner, but yeah, Vanessa.
He starts saying, Artie and Vanessa kissing in the tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
I know.
I said, that's Pete.
Of all the people to get stuck at the warehouse with, he's got to get stuck with Pete.
Yes.
When Vanessa's coming.
Yes. And Pete notices it and even tells him, oh, you got a human size. Because Pete's seeing it.
Yeah.
And then Pete finds the artifact that Artie's using.
Right. Pete actually started reading descriptions of artifacts to find it.
Yeah.
So he's perfectly capable of reading the manual. He just won't do it.
He just won't do it. Nope. Won't do it. Because he was like, oh, we got a warehouse doctor.
Yeah.
It's a manual.
So, our own warehouse doctor, huh?
Yes, Pete. It's in the manual, chapter 112, section F, paragraph 3.
Yeah. I haven't quite gotten to chapter 112 yet.
Yeah, why don't you go downstairs and read it right now?
Well, I was hoping you'd read it to me, Papa.
Vanessa, I'm really sorry about him. I'm sorry you have to come all the way to South Dakota just for this.
Oh, well, your appendix is always the highlight of my year, Artie.
Wow, what's the rest of your year like?
You know, he's kidding. We're already poking fun at him, and then Vanessa has to leave and go somewhere. Artie's all of a sudden in so much pain. Pete's like, I don't know where to take him, but he takes him to the vet.
Right. I forgot about her. I forgot all about that ferret. So I should have realized that would be a perfect in to get the vet to the bed and breakfast. I wasn't sure if she ever came back, but I forgot that Micah had this ferret, you know, because I was like, well, how is he ever going to interact with her again? So, of course, that's the way to get her to the bed and breakfast. But
well, he brought her to the vet, but then I didn't think other people were allowed in. Oh, no, that's right. It wasn't the warehouse. She went back to the B&B.
Right.
I got confused there for a minute, and I just thought about it now. Yeah, that's right. Because I was like, why is she in the warehouse? I thought civilians were supposed to be in the warehouse.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
But then after, we didn't see, what's her name? Lita at the B&B.
No, and I kind of remember that. After the first season, we don't see Lena every episode. I kind of remember that. I mean, I don't know if there's whole, like, seasons we don't see her, but I just kind of remember that we don't see her every episode like we did pretty much until now.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't know where she is or what's going on, but I kind of do remember that.
Little help here.
At some point, point, you people will have to realize that veterinarian means animal doctor, not human.
Yeah, I don't want to be here either. So, look, Doc Owens is out of town. His appendix is about to burst, so it's either the vet or the barber.
An appendectomy. You do realize that most of the surgeries I perform are spaying and neutering.
Okay, the barber.
The barber. Artie, please sit down.
Okay.
I mean, come on, help the guy out. Hey, I can make him look like a giant walrus if that makes it any easier.
The vet. So anyway, she performs and takes out his appendix, and he's there to assist.
Yeah.
And then after she starts cracking on him for what he did during the procedure, you know, then he's like asking her out, and she's like, no, something about cute. And he's like, so cute. He starts playing around.
We're going to pause right here for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Doug Gramley here from Yeah, That Can't Be Good. If you're a fan of Warehouse 13, it is very likely you're also a fan of Eureka, and if you aren't, you should be. Please join Kim, Vicky, Skip, and myself over at Yeah, That Can't Be Good for an episode-by-episode podcast of all things Eureka. You can listen at EurekaRewatch.com on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
And the other line that was funny goes, won't you ask her to go see like a picture show or something and get dudes that has been milked?
Yeah, does. What did he say?
Does that has been milked.
Something like that,
milk
yeah.
Does.
That was funny.
If only there were some way for you to interact with Vanessa that did not involve invasive surgery. Perhaps some kind of, I don't know, social ritual. One involving the sharing of food or the enjoying of filmed entertainment with maybe some duds that have been milked. I mean a date.
I know what you mean.
It's funny because Pete's not usually that, like I said, he doesn't usually pay that much attention to things.
Yeah.
So he figured out that Artie's growing his appendix back every year, so this Vanessa will come back.
And then all he had to do is just ask the girl.
Right, and then he harasses him to death.
Mm-hmm.
But then he gives him advice, and Artie finally does kind of take him up on it. You know, after he almost dies because his appendix was growing back, and it could have exploded.
Right, and then it got worse, so, you know, that sucks in the play. And he keeps on telling Pete, don't mess with the artifacts.
Right.
But you're messing with an artifact, and you're doing it every year?
Yeah. And it's a dangerous artifact because the description of the artifact is that it was used by P.T. Barnum, I think.
Yes!
It was the Barnum top. It was used by P.T. Barnum to increase the shock of the crowd by regrowing the limbs and internal organs of his freaks. However, if the extra part isn't amputated, it'll keep growing until it bursts. So, Artie's using a dangerous artifact.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying, well, it's not infected, I can leave, but she doesn't know he's growing it back, and
right.
He could die. Do you still have more notes? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-mm. No, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Well, then, the veterinarian.
Guess how many croissants I shoved into my mouth at once.
One day you'll have to tell me how you got partnered up with that one.
Well, the croissant thing's actually kind of impressive when you see it.
Yeah, at least it keeps him from talking.
Oh, that's right. You prefer your males to bark and hump your leg.
I'm sure it's in your repertoire.
Okay. Thank you. You know, we have to get back to work, but thank you so much for coming.
Micah, for you anytime.
Okay. What is with you two?
She started it.
She finally tells Pete why she hates him so much. She tells him that she moved to the small town because she had a bad breakup and she didn't want to meet any good-looking guys.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of... That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. So small towns can't have good-looking guys? Is that like a prerequisite? If you live in a small town, you can't be good-looking?
Well, I guess they kind of think that if it's a small town, there ain't nothing but hicks. And now that you just said that, I'm thinking about hot in Cleveland.
Yeah, the whole premise of that is they weren't hot anywhere else, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because they were getting older, they figured they'd go here, and then they find all these nice-looking guys. So it's like the stereotype.
Exactly. I would imagine they could come up with some better reason than that.
Right.
Yeah.
But in some people's heads, you got to figure, some people are still that narrow-minded. You know, this is what she's thinking. And then here comes Pete. You ever watch, what is it, The Shift? The Smiths. It's a comedy. It's gotten popular.
Schitt's Creek?
Yeah, that's it. Schitt's Creek.
No, I watched the first episode and I never watched any more of it.
It grows on you, but it is good. And it's the same premise. You know, they moved here. It's this little hick town. Oh, nobody's, you know, it's going to be born, whatever. But in reality, this is what happens. You're meeting this veterinarian and, you know, nice looking guy, and it's like a, you know, like a stereotype.
Yeah.
And even though people are not rich for the money, which they have lost anyway, things still work out.
Yeah. Since we recorded this episode back in October, I have watched Schitt's Creek from beginning to end. It was great. And I did notice there was one episode where Artie and Lena guest starred together. So that was cool.
And even here, I can't remember if they continue to date or not.
I don't either. I wasn't even sure after the first time we met her if we ever saw her again, you know.
Right. It's still like things happen anywhere. So you just got to think out of the box and deal with it, but deal with it positively.
Yeah, it's just she hated him so much. And so I was expecting, I don't know what I was the explanation to be, but I just said, what?
She must have got a heart broke by some good-looking dude, but you know, and that's the stereotype too, that good-looking dudes will burn you.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they say, oh, date an ugly girl.
Right. I don't know what it was about this episode. I had a hard time paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pick out anything I didn't like except for that explanation about why she hated Pete. I just had a hard time paying attention to this. Usually I watch it once, and then the second time is when I take notes.
Mm-hmm.
I had to watch it like 3 times before I could even take notes. And then I hardly took any notes because I just wasn't interested in the whole thing. I don't know why. I was glad to see HG, but I wasn't all that interested in it. I mean, I liked her and Micah's dynamic. If she did ever work in the warehouse, they would be good partners.
Yes.
Like, they work together well. I just think that she's up to something else. I don't know. Or I do remember the character, but I don't remember if she's up to something. When she did mention the daughter, I do remember her saying she had a daughter. I do remember that much. I did like their dynamic. I like the way Micah mentored Claudia.
Yeah, Claudia, take this because you're going with Micah to California as a backup.
For reals? My first official assignment as an agent? Shut up!
An apprentice. While you're on campus, enroll and get a degree, will you?
You never stop with that.
Although she kind of sent her off on her own and said, go talk to these guys while I do this. You know, she should have her shadowing her, is the way I see it.
Right.
But, you know, in the end, Claudia sucked it up and did it her way, which worked out better.
I like this one. I only watched it once, so this was pretty good for me. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Like you said, the dynamic between the two, I like that. And, you know, even when Claudia found herself, I like that too, because once she got relaxed and was herself, then everything, you know,
exactly.
Panned out.
The other thing I did pick up on was in the last episode when Pete was grounded and Mrs. Fredericks told him the artifact affected him more because he had some kind of underlying anxiety.
Right.
Artie, who doesn't pick up on a lot of things, this was a big episode for Pete and Artie because both of them, who don't normally pick up on things, picked up on things. Artie knows that the way Pete's acting and why the telegraph affected him so much was because when he saw Artie was dead, he saw himself.
Right.
He saw him being Artie. Artie, who just doesn't do anything but devote himself to the warehouse. It was weird for Artie to have that much insight.
Right.
You should ask her out.
Me? Yeah. Ask her out.
Yeah. Right. Or be one of those agents obsessed with the warehouse. That always works out so well. You weren't talking to me.
Oh, no?
No.
Oh, well, who was I talking to?
No, let's just see. When I died in the tunnel, didn't you think for just an instant, poor Artie, he gave his life to this place and he died alone? What's been happening to you?
What happening? No happening.
I think you're worried that you caught a glimpse into your own future.
Oh, those painkillers are making you loopy, old boy.
Oh, I'm not on any painkillers.
And that's what Artie told him to go ask her out. Ask the vet out.
Yeah, and he finally does. Jeez. Yeah. I have a feeling that she was just as happy to come there every year as he was to have her.
Oh, no. Not that. I mean, I'm talking about what Artie told
Pete
to ask the veterinarian out.
Right. That's right. I forgot about that.
Because he switched it. Even though Pete gave Artie advice about asking her out, Artie turned that around.
Yes, that's right.
Because then he was saying, don't make this your life. Don't be me. You know, he's like, I give you your props. And he's saying, go ask her out.
Since it's already come up, you did mention that I was cute. Although now that I think about it, bunny rabbits and kittens are cute, so maybe it wasn't the compliment that I thought it was.
And that's when, even though we turned it down, Micah asked, where you going? I'm going out on a date. And Micah's like, well, I thought she told you no. He said, yeah, she did. And sure enough, he goes, he asked her out. He said, it's only two people eating dinner. Your species eats.
Yeah.
I eat. Why can't two people eat together?
Right.
It's true. If it's not even a romantic thing, why can't it just be a friendship thing? And nothing always has to turn into romance. It can become a very nice friendship.
Yes.
I've been thinking that, sometimes I can be kind of obnoxious in a really fun and entertaining way. But here's the thing. I like you when you're not being really unnecessarily mean to me. And I need to eat. You know, and I figured, your species probably occasionally eats too. So maybe the two of us could sit down at the same table together and both eat.
So, and then after the next thing you know, everybody's going out for a little date, which is nice.
Well, until next year then.
Vanessa, look, I'm just heading into town. Do you want to come with me for a little walk or a sit?
Yeah, I'd like that. But I'll drive.
Yeah, you better.
And Claudia signing up for college because she's telling her you can't be a secret agent without a degree.
And Artie was trying to push her into going to college too. So I don't know that she needs to work for the Secret Service to work in the warehouse, but if she wants to apply for the Secret Service, she has to go to college. I mean, all around, Claudia got to shadow Micah, but she is going to go to college, which is what Artie wants. I think that's what they all want for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't even have to go. She's signing her up for online classes. It doesn't have to interfere with her warehouse work, which is probably what's bothering her. I liked the episode, but I had a hard time paying attention to it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say it's one of my favorites, but it just seemed like they were building up for HG and Micah to work together.
Yeah, it could be.
That's what it seemed like, because they did work well together.
I enjoyed it. I really did. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So do you have any more notes? Because I'm out. Like I said, I didn't.
That's it for me.
I hardly even took any notes. Because thank God it was your week to go first. Because I had nothing.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. So we'll be back next week with episode 8. All right. We'll see you later.
All right. Have a good day.
Bye.
You were being wheeled out.
I don't care if I'm having a brain transplant. If you cross paths with H.G. Wells, you yank me out of anesthesia and you fill me in. Is that understood?
I'm really glad she showed up. She saved my life.
Me too.
Yeah, well, McPherson saved my life countless times. It didn't change who he was. Is that understood?
Yes, sir. Crystal clear.
Okay, DC, tell us what's next.
Join us next time for season 2, episode 8. Marrying with Collision. Bye now.
Merge with caution.
Merge in collision.
Right.
Bye now.
Perfect.
Hey, this is Doug Gramley reminding you to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the13thwarehouse, on Twitter at Eureka Warehouse, on Instagram at Eureka_warehouse, on our website at the13thwarehouse.com, or on Podbean. Theme music for the 13th Warehouse, Reflections in the Mirror, provided by Esther Garcia under their standard license. See you next time in the 13th Warehouse.
And now we're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.